Sonnet 17. Who will believe my verse in time to come, if it were filled with your most high deserts? Though yet heaven knows, it is but as a tomb which hides your life, and shows not half your parts. If I could write the beauty of your eyes, and in fresh numbers number all your graces, the age to come would say, this poet lies, such heavenly touches ne'er touched earthly faces. So should my papers, yellowed with their age, be scorned like old men of less truth than tongue, and your true rights be termed a poet's rage and stretched meter of an antique song. But were some child of yours alive that time, you should live twice, in it and in my rhyme. Sonnet 31. Thy bosom is endeared with all hearts, which I, by lacking, have supposed dead. And there reigns love, and all love's loving parts, and all those friends which I thought buried. How many a holy and obsequious tear hath dear religious love stolen from mine eye, as interest of the dead which now appear but things removed that hidden in thee lie. Thou art the grave where buried love doth live, hung with the trophies of my lovers gone, who all their parts of me to thee did give, that due of many now is thine alone. Their images I loved, I view in thee, and thou, all they, hast all the all of me. Sonnet 43. When most I wink, then do mine eyes best see, for all the day they view things unrespected. But when I sleep, in dreams they look on thee, and darkly bright are bright in dark directed. Then thou, whose shadow shadows doth make bright, how would thy shadow's form happy show to the clear day with thy much clearer light, when to unseeing eyes thy shade shines so? How would I say mine eyes be blessed made by looking on thee in the living day, when in dead night thy fair imperfect shade through heavy sleep on sightless eyes doth stay? All days are nights to see till I see thee, and nights, bright days when dreams do show thee me. Sonnet 62. Sin of self-love possesseth all mine eye, and all my soul, and all my every part, and for this sin there is no remedy, it is so grounded inward in my heart. Methinks no face so gracious is as mine, no shape so true, no truth of such account, and for myself mine own worth do define as I all other in all worths surmount. But when my glass shows me myself indeed, beated and chopped with tanned antiquity, mine own self-love quite contrary I read, self, so self-loving, were iniquity. 'Tis thee, myself, that for myself I praise, painting my age with beauty of thy days. Sonnet 76. Why is my verse so barren of new pride, so far from variation or quick change? Why with the time do I not glance aside to newfound methods and to compound strange? Why write I still, all one, ever the same, and keep invention in a noted weed? That every word doth almost tell my name, showing their birth and where they did proceed. Oh, no, sweet love, I always write of you, and you and love are still my argument. So all my best is dressing old words new, spending again what is already spent. For as the sun is daily new and old, so is my love still telling what is told. Sonnet 86. Was it the proud full sail of his great verse, bound for the prize of all too precious you, that did my ripe thoughts in my brain inhearse, making their tomb the womb wherein they grew? Was it his spirit, by spirits taught to write, above a mortal pitch that struck me dead? No, neither he nor his compeers by night, giving him aid, my verse astonished. He, nor that affable familiar ghost which nightly gulls him with intelligence, as victors of my silence cannot boast, I was not sick of any fear from thence. But when your countenance filled up his line, then lacked I matter, that enfeebled mine. Sonnet 103. Alack, what poverty my muse brings forth, that having such a scope to show her pride, the argument all bare is of more worth than when it hath my added praise beside. Oh, blame me not, if I no more can write. Look in your glass, and there appears a face that overglows my blunt invention quite, dulling my lines and doing me disgrace. Were it not sinful, then, striving to mend, to mar the subject that before was well? For to no other pass my verses tend than of your graces and your gifts to tell. And more, much more than in my verse can sit, your own glass shows you when you look in it. Sonnet 119. What potions have I drunk of siren tears, distilled from limbecks foul as hell within, applying fears to hopes, and hopes to fears, still losing when I saw myself to win? What wretched errors hath my heart committed, whilst it hath thought itself so blessed never? How have mine eyes out of their spheres been fitted in the distraction of this madding fever? Oh, benefit of ill! Now I find true that better is by evil still made better, and ruined love, when it is built anew, grows fairer than at first, more strong, far greater. So I return, rebuked to my content, and gain by ill thrice more than I have spent. Sonnet 135. Whoever hath her wish, thou hadst thy will, and will to boot, and will in overplus. More than enough am I that vexed thee still, to thy sweet will making addition thus. Wilt thou, whose will is large and spacious, not once vouchsafe to hide my will in thine? Shall will in others seem right gracious, and in my will no fair acceptance shine? The sea, all water, yet receives rain still, and in abundance addeth to his store. So thou, being rich in will, add to thy will one will of mine to make thy large will more. Let no unkind, no fair beseechers kill. Think all but one, and me in that one will. Sonnet 151. Love is too young to know what conscience is. Yet who knows not conscience is born of love? Then, gentle cheater, urge not my amiss, lest guilty of my faults thy sweet self prove. For, thou betraying me, I do betray my nobler part to my gross body's treason. My soul doth tell my body that he may triumph in love, flesh stays no farther reason. But rising at thy name doth point out thee as his triumphant prize, proud of this pride. He is contented thy poor drudge to be, to stand in thy affairs, fall by thy side. No want of conscience hold it that I call her love, for whose dear love I rise and fall.
Sonnet number 7. Lo, in the orient when the gracious light lifts up his burning head, each under eye doth homage to his new appearing sight, serving with looks his sacred majesty. And having climbed the steep up heavenly hill, resembling strong youth in his middle age, yet mortal looks adorn his beauty still, attending on his golden pilgrimage. But when, from highmost pitch with weary car, like feeble age he reeleth from the day, the eyes, for duteous now converted are, from his low tract, and look another way. So thou, thyself outgoing in thy noon, unlooked and diest, unless thou get a son. Sonnet number 28. How can I then return in happy plight, that am debarred the benefit of rest, when day's oppression is not eased by night, but day by night and night by day oppressed, and each, though enemies to either's reign, do in consent shake hands to torture me, the one by toil, the other to complain. How far I toil, still farther off from thee. I tell the day, to please him though thou art bright, and dost him grace when clouds do blot the heaven, so flatter I the swart-complexioned night, when sparkling stars twire not though gilts the even. But day doth daily draw my sorrows longer, and night doth nightly make grief's length seem stronger. Sonnet 41. Those pretty wrongs that liberty commits, when I am sometime absent from thy heart, thy beauty and thy years full well befits, for still temptation follows where thou art. Gentle thou art, and therefore to be won. Beauteous thou art, therefore to be assailed. And when a woman woos, what woman's son will sourly leave her till he have prevailed? Ay me, but yet thou mightst my seat forbear, and chide thy beauty and thy straying youth, who lead thee in their riot even there, where thou art forced to break a twofold truth. Hers, by thy beauty, tempting her to thee. Thine, by thy beauty, being false to me. Sonnet 46. Mine eye and heart are at a mortal war, how to divide the conquest of thy sight. Mine eye, my heart, thy picture's sight would bar. Mine heart, mine eye, the freedom of that right. My heart doth plead that thou in him dost lie, a closet never pierced with crystal eyes, but the defendant doth that plead deny, and says in him thy fair appearance lies. To side this title is empanelled, a quest of thoughts, all tenants to the heart, and by their verdict is determined. The clear eyes moiety, and the dear heart's part, as thus, mine eyes do, is thine outward part, and my heart's right, thine inward love of heart. Sonnet 66. Tired with all these, for restful death I cry, as to behold desert a beggar born, and needy nothing trimmed in jollity, and purest faith unhappily forsworn, and gilded honor shamefully misplaced, and maiden virtue rudely strumpeted, and right perfection wrongfully disgraced, and strength by limping swayed disabled, and art made tongue-tied by authority, and folly doctor-like controlling skill, and simple truth miscalled simplicity, and captive good attending captain ill. Tired with all these, from these would I be gone, save that to die I leave my love alone. Sonnet 81. Or shall I live your epitaph to make, or you survive when I in earth am rotten? From hence your memory death cannot take, although in me each part will be forgotten. Your name from hence immortal life shall have, though I, once gone, to all the world must die. The earth can yield me but a common grave, when you entombed in men's eyes shall lie. Your monument shall be my gentle verse, which eyes not yet created shall o'erread, and tongues to be your being shall rehearse, when all the breathers of this world are dead. You still shall live, such virtue hath my pen, where breath most breathers, even in the mouths of men. Sonnet 99. The forward violet thus did I chide. Sweet thief, whence didst thou steal thy sweet that smells, if not from my love's breath? The purple pride which on thy soft cheek for complexion dwells, in my love's veins thou hast too grossly dyed. The lily I condemned for thy hand, and buds of marjoram had stolen thy hair. The roses fearfully on thorns did stand, one blushing shame, another white despair. A third, nor red nor white, had stolen of both, and to his robbery had annexed thy breath. But for his theft, in pride of all his growth, a vengeful canker eat him up to death. More flowers I noted, yet I none could see, but sweet or color it had stolen from thee. Sonnet 110. Alas, 'tis true. I have gone here and there, and made myself a motley to the view, gored my own thoughts, sold cheap what is most dear, made old offences of affections new. Most true it is that I have looked on truth askance and strangely, but by all above, these blenches gave my heart another youth, and worse assays proved thee my best of love. Now all is done. Have what shall have no end. Mine appetite I never more will grind on newer proof to try an older friend, a god in love to whom I am confined. Then give me welcome, next my heaven the best, even to thy pure and most, most loving breast. Sonnet 126. O thou, my lovely boy, who in thy power dost time's fickle glass his sickle hour, who hast by waning grown, and therein show'st thy lover's withering, and thy sweet self grow'st. If nature, sovereign mistress over rack, as thou goest onward, still will pluck thee back, she keeps thee to this purpose, that her skill may time disgrace and wretched minutes kill. Yet fear her, O thy minion of her pleasure. She may detain, but not still keep her treasure. Her audit, though delayed, answered must be, and her quietus is to render thee. Sonnet 146. Poor soul, the sentinel of my sinful earth, why feeds these rebel powers that thee array? Why dost thou pine within and suffer dearth, painting thy outward walls so costly gay? Why so large cost, having so short a lease, dost thou upon thy fading mansion spend? Shall worms, inheritors of this excess, eat up thy charge? Is this thy body's end? Then, soul, live thou upon thy servant's loss, and let that pine to aggravate thy store. All right.
Sonnet number 2. When 40 winters shall besiege thy brow, and dig deep trenches in thy beauty's field, thy youth's proud livery, so gazed on now, will be a tattered weed, of small worth held. Then being asked where all thy beauty lies, where all the treasure of thy lusty days, to say within thine own deep-sunken eyes, were an all-eating shame and thriftless praise. How much more praise deserved thy beauty's use, if thou couldst answer, this fair child of mine shall sum my count and make my old excuse, proving his beauty by succession thine. This were to be new made when thou art old, and see thy blood warm when thou feel'st it cold. Sonnet 23. As an unperfect actor on the stage, who with his fears put besides his part, or some fierce thing replete with too much rage, whose strength's abundance weakens his own heart, so I, for fear of trust, forget to say the perfect ceremony of love's rite, and in mine own love's strength seem to decay, or charged with the burden of mine own love's might. Oh, let my books be then the eloquence and dumb presagers of my speaking breast, who plead for love and look for recompense more than that tongue that more hath more expressed. Oh, learn to read what silent love hath writ, To hear with eyes belongs to love's fine wit. Sonnet 38. How can my muse want subject to invent while thou dost breathe, that pourst into my verse thine own sweet argument, too excellent for every vulgar paper to rehearse? Oh, give thyself the thanks, if aught in me worthy perusal stand against thy sight. For who's so dumb that cannot write to thee, when thou thyself dost give invention light? Be thou the tenth muse, 10 times more in worth than those old 9 which rhymers invocate. And he that calls on thee, let him bring forth eternal numbers to outlive long date. If my slight muse do please these curious days, the pain be mine, but thine shall be the praise. Sonnet 44. If the dull substance of my flesh were thought, injurious distance should not stop my way. For then, despite of space, I would be brought from limits far remote where thou dost stay. No matter then, although my foot did stand upon the farthest earth removed from thee. For nimble thought can jump both sea and land as soon as think the place where he would be. But ah, thought kills me that I am not thought to leap large lengths of miles when thou art gone, but that so much of earth and water wrought I must attend time's leisure with my moan, receiving not by elements so slow but heavy tears, badges of either's woe. Sonnet 63. Against my love shall be, as I am now, with time's injurious hand crushed and o'erworn, when hours have drained his blood and filled his brow with lines and wrinkles, when his youthful morn hath travelled on to age's steepy night, and all those beauties whereof now he's king are vanishing or vanished out of sight, stealing away the treasure of his spring. For such a time do I now fortify against confounding age's cruel knife, that he shall never cut from memory my sweet love's beauty, though my lover's life. His beauty shall in these black lines be seen, and they shall live, and he in them still green. Sonnet 78. So oft have I invoked thee for my muse, and found such fair assistance in my verse, as every alien pen hath got my use, and under thee their poesy disperse. Thine eyes, that taught the dumb on high to sing, and heavy ignorance aloft to fly, have added feathers to the learned's wing, and given grace a double majesty. Yet be most proud of that which I compile, whose influence is thine and born of thee. In others' works thou dost but mend the style and arts with thy sweet graces graced be. But thou art all my art, and dost advance as high as learning my rude ignorance. Sonnet 94. They that have power to hurt, and will do none, that do not do the thing they most do show, who, moving others, are themselves as stone, unmoved, cold, and to temptation slow. They rightly do inherit heaven's graces, and husband nature's riches from expense. They are the lords and owners of their faces, others but stewards of their excellence. The summer's flower is to the summer sweet, though to itself it only live and die. But if that flower with base infection meet, the basest weed outbraves his dignity. For sweetest things turn sourest by their deeds. Lilies that fester smell far worse than weeds. Sonnet 104. To me, fair friend, you never can be old. For as you were when first your eye I eyed, such seems your beauty still. 3 winters cold have from the forest shook 3 summers pride. 3 beauteous springs to yellow autumn turned in process of the seasons have I seen. 3 April perfumes in 3 hot Junes burned since first I saw you fresh, which yet are green. Ah, yet doth beauty, like a dial hand, steal from his figure, and no pace perceived. So your sweet hue, which methinks still doth stand, hath motion, and mine eye may be deceived. For fear of which, hear this, thou age unbred. Ere you were born, was beauty's summer dead. Sonnet 124. If my dear love were but the child of state, it might for fortune's bastard be unfathered, as subject to time's love or to time's hate. Weeds among weeds, or flowers with flowers gathered. No, it was builded far from accident. It suffers not in smiling pomp, nor falls under the blow of thralled discontent, whereto the inviting time our fashion calls. It fears not policy, that heretic, which works on leases of short-numbered hours, but all alone stands hugely politic, that it nor grows with heat nor drowns with showers. To this I witness call the fools of time, which die for goodness who have lived for crime. Sonnet 141. In faith, I do not love thee with mine eyes, for they in thee 1,000 errors note. But 'tis my heart that loves what they despise, who, in despite of view, is pleased to dote. Nor are mine ears with thy tongue's tune delighted, nor tender feeling to base touches prone, nor taste, nor smell, desire to be invited to any sensual feast with thee alone. But my 5 wits, nor my 5 senses can dissuade one foolish heart from serving thee, who leaves unswayed the likeness of a man, thy proud heart's slave and vassal wretch to be. Only my plague, thus far, I count my gain, that she that makes me sin awards me pain.